This What's Working with Cam Marston podcast is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's. Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
Welcome, everyone, to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is your radio show designed to highlight the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around you. I want guests. I find guests. I'm fortunate to meet some of these guests that can talk very clearly about the trends shaping their business with the hopes that something they say will make you and me a little bit better at whatever it is that we do. Hope that something they say gives you insight that something you're dealing with in your own business and will help you plan accordingly. It was about 12 months ago, as I sit here on this microphone, that I remember saying, you know, it would be pretty cool is to find somebody whose business is very dependent upon the holiday-themed events. For example, it would be really cool to find somebody that could talk about some of the shows that go on in the holiday season. The thing that immediately came to mind was the Nutcracker, that perennial ballet that goes on around the holiday season about the child and his dreams. And it's a standard for every child. It's a standard for so many theaters. It's a standard in New York City. And I said, I'm going to try to find a ballerina. So I reached out to a friend of mine who lives in New York and I said, hey, you know any ballerinas? And she said, I'll be back in touch. I think so. Never heard a word from her. But it was a few weeks ago that I was sitting there interviewing T. Bruce McKinnon. And I said, T, at some point in our conversation, tell me a little bit about your family. This is off the air. And he said, oh, I got two daughters and they live in New York City. Oh, really? Tell me more about that. They're professional ballerinas in the New York City Ballet. Bing, 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 bing. My goodness. They're from Mobile, Alabama, born and raised in our neck of the woods, and are now dancing professionally in New York City for the New York City Ballet. T, I said, I wanted to find a ballerina to talk to about the Nutcracker and learn what their life and their world looks like and to learn how they prepare and learn about this extraordinary work of art and this incredible athleticism that these ladies and men have. Would you mind if I spent some time with your daughters on the phone talking to them about their work? And today it's coming to fruition. It's only taken a year. And now I don't have one ballerina for us to talk about. I have two. And we're going to learn about what COVID did to these ladies and when the city shut down, when the whole nation shut down. We're going to learn a little bit about what it takes to be this very, very elite performer in one of the world's most elite ballet companies. And we're going to learn a little bit about their connections to town, to Mobile and the state, and what their life and their world looks like. I can't wait. This is part of one of our holiday-themed conversations. When we come back from break, I will have Mary Thomas McKinnon and her sister Olivia McKinnon on the phone with me from New York City talking about the life as a professional ballerina. Really pretty cool. Before we go to break, though, I want to mention the professionals at Sandifer Wealth. They're friends of mine. I've worked with them closely on many different projects. And one of the things that they told me not long ago that really caught my attention, and I've mentioned this before and it's worth mentioning again because of the stark reality of it, there is an increasing potential that you and I will be retired longer than we worked. Based on healthcare technology, based on sciences and medicines, it's entirely possible that we live longer than we were employed. What does that mean? It means we need to have our ducks in a row upon retirement. And if you are wondering if that will be you, if you look into your background and say, you know what, my people tend to live a long time, You might want to reach out to the professionals at Sandifer Wealth. Give Mark Salyers or Jamie Sandifer a call. You can find them online, Sandifer Wealth Management. Put that in your Google search bar. It'll come right up and reach out to them. Take care of yourself. You're going to live a long time. Make sure you got the finances to do so. Call the professionals at Sandifer Wealth. Mark and Jamie will take care of you. When we come right back, Olivia McKinnon and her sister, Mary Thomas. This is Cam Marston, and I'm on the phone with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, I was told by many termite companies they're not going to touch a house with spray foam insulation. Then I found you, and you bond the homes that you treat. Tell me how you do this and what your treatment does to the termites.
Basically, I put together an extensive treatment program that allows us to treat homes and allows us to actually treat spray foam with a product that will absorb into the spray foam and protect it from termites harboring in the area or starting an above ground colony. We also, like I say, with our extensive treatment, we put it together and we're able to bond houses and just simply by the way we treat it.
It's hard to find a termite company that'll touch a house with spray foam. I know I use you and love it. Tell people how they can find you, Cajun Mike.
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3pests.com. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, and I'm on the line with two professional ballerinas. How many of you people out there could say that? Not many. Olivia McKinnon and her sister Mary Thomas are phoning in from New York City. They're born and raised in Mobile up to, I think, ladies, about your 14th birthday when you were shipped up to New York City to become a professional ballerina. Thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Hi, we're so happy to be here.
Hi.
So let's begin. Which of the two of you is the oldest? I don't have that in my notes. Is it Olivia or Mary Thomas?
Yes, I'm the oldest. I'm currently 26, and Mary Thomas is 4 years younger than me.
Okay, so Olivia is the oldest, and I'm the oldest of three children. We have four children. The oldest always gets the most attention, so we're going to start with Mary Thomas. Mary Thomas.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about your path, your trajectory, and what got you there, and then we'll get into Olivia's story.
Yes, so I actually started dancing when I was 3 years old, very, very young, and moved away when I was, 15 years old. Definitely very difficult leaving my family and moving to such a large city, so it was definitely a little intimidating. But overall, it's just definitely been my dream from a very, very young age, and I am so fortunate to be here and have been trained under amazing teachers. And I'm just extremely, extremely blessed.
Tell me when you knew ballet was something more than a hobby, that you wanted to pursue it at a professional level.
So definitely being younger, I think I saw it as more of a fun little activity. But once I grew older, I started to understand how much dedication and hard work you had to put into it and really started to be more focused and dedicated. And once I came to New York when I was 15, I really realized how important it was to me and how much I wanted it. So I really, really started to put in the hours and listen to my teachers and really focus on my goal, which was to get into the New York City Ballet.
Olivia, let's go to you. You're the oldest of the two sisters. Tell us your story. Is it similar?
Yes, my story is quite similar. I started dancing when I was 3 as well and moved away from Alabama to train at the School of American Ballet, where Mary Thomas and I both trained. It's the feeding school into the company we're in now, which is New York City Ballet. So I trained at that school from 15 to 17 years old, and I was accepted into New York City Ballet at 17. So, you know, the trajectory for a professional ballerina goes quite fast, and you have to make those hard decisions to you know, move away to, you know, gain better training from better teachers. And, you know, everything happens pretty quickly. So 17 was when Mary Thomas and I both started a professional job, but it's our dream and we love it dearly and very grateful for sure.
How many other sister duos are in the New York City Ballet? And if I get my terminology wrong, I want you to correct me so that at the end of this show, I can speak fluent ballet. So how many other people, sister duos, are a part of the New York City Ballet?
I think currently there might just be one sister duo, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And then there are some, there are brother, sister, and then a brother, brother duo. So, the company has always loved family. So it's definitely fun to go through this dream of a life with my sister and for us to both live in New York City together. And we are roommates as well. So we get to see each other quite often.
So Olivia, when you saw that your younger sister was pursuing ballet, you didn't get bent out of shape and say, hey, this is my path. You've always copied me. You've always mimicked me. You've wanted to wear my clothes. And now you're trying to pursue my career as well. Was there any sort of reaction like that?
No, not at all. I was very supportive of Mary Thomas always. And we're also very different dancers in some senses. Even though we dance in the same company, we're quite often cast in different ballets. So it's kind of special in that way because we can kind of feed off each other, learn different things from one another, with the qualities that we have as dancers. So that's pretty cool.
Mary Thomas, tell us a little bit about the New York City Ballet, as I understand it, and I stumbled across an HBO documentary last night, of all things, that was called, and I emailed you about this. Remind me what it was called. I don't have that note in front of me. Do y'all remember?
Ballet, I think 422.
Ballet, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I saw in the notes of that documentary that there's only how many people in any one time in the New York City Ballet? It's quite elite.
Correct. There's, I want to say, currently around 99 dancers in all.
In all of the New York City Ballet. And is that a combination of male and female?
Male and female. Yes, correct.
And do they house you? The answer's got to be no.
They do not.
So was
For
there
the a School of American Ballet, when we moved to New York, we dormed and everything was in one building. But for once we became members of the company, we had to find our own apartments in the city.
Mary Thomas, tell me about, and I'm trying to go between the two of you in a reasonable or at least find some pacing so that I can meet you both. Mary Thomas, tell me about the moment where the ballet asked you to become a member. Is there a ritual to it? Was it like a fraternity initiation?
Well, actually, usually it was during Thanksgiving in 2017. And I actually was sick at the time and classes were going on. I was in my dorm room where we were staying. And they called me down to the office and I was petrified. I thought I was in trouble or something. And they told me Peter Martins, who at the time was the director of New York City Ballet, called me down to the office. And I remember just shaking, so nervous. They called me in and told me that they wanted me to be a part of the New York City Ballet and wanted me to become an apprentice. And of course I was just crying, so just happy and just had no words. But that was probably one of the best moments of my life because it had been my dream for as long as I could remember.
The work paid off. Olivia, how about you? When do you remember that, that invitation coming?
So kind of similar. I received a phone call as well. I was in, one of my school classes and it was right after a hurricane. I can't remember which hurricane, but a hurricane had just happened the night before. And I got the call to also be an apprentice with New York City Ballet. And I would be starting the following week and we would be going right into Nutcracker season. So it was a fun season to start off with because it's such a classic. So I was very familiar with that ballet, before I got into the company, so it was something that kind of felt like home, even though everything was very new going into a professional company.
Tell me about the Nutcracker. How many times have each of you danced the Nutcracker? Are we talking about 100 times? Are we talking about 200 times? Tell me, I suspect that you look at the Nutcracker and say, this is a perennial. We know we're going to do it. It's going to land on the calendar every Christmas season. What are your thoughts about the Nutcracker? We'll start with you, Olivia.
It's definitely a tradition, and it brings, you know, loved ones together every year. And it's something that is just such a classic. But also for us dancers, New York City Ballet performs the Nutcracker, I want to say, more than any other company in the world. We have, I want to say, a little over 49 shows.
Whoa.
So we run for 6 full weeks. So it's really a marathon for all the dancers involved, especially the dancers in the Corps de Ballet, because you're on basically for every show. So, of course, it's a classic. Of course, it spreads holiday cheer, but it's really a marathon for all of our bodies to get through a grueling season like that.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, because I understand that a torn ACL is not uncommon in your business, in your profession. And I want to talk about the different roles you've had in the Nutcracker. And do you do the same role every year? Olivia, you were telling us about Nutcracker. Is it the same role for you every year, or do you get different roles?
When I first got into the company, I had my set core roles as a Corps de Ballet member. And I've kind of, you know, as the years have gone on, I've received different opportunities and different roles. So I am able to like rotate all the roles. So I, you know, I'm not repeating the same role every night, which is very nice. And I would say some of my favorite roles are Dewdrop and Marzipan. And of course I love Sugar Plum. I hope to do that one soon, but there's just a lot of different roles I get to rotate, which is nice. So it's a little bit easier on the body instead of, you know, repeating the same role every night.
How do they tell you who gets what role? Do they release it and pin it up to a wall or something? Do you get a phone call, a text?
Castings released, I want to say every Tuesday, like 2 weeks before. So we really won't know our casting till pretty close to the shows. So we kind of have an incentive of what we will be doing based on our rehearsals, but you're still kind of, you know, just hoping and praying for the role, even if you're rehearsing it, because it's not a guarantee.
Yeah. When we come back, Mary Thomas, let's pick up with you after break, and we'll talk a little bit about the physical stresses that go on in the life, in the practice, in the pursuit of a professional ballerina. Like I said a moment ago, I understand that there are a lot of people in your profession that can blow an ACL. You think about these guys on the football field, but it's also a part of your profession, as I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong. Folks, I'm on the phone with Olivia McKinnon and Mary Thomas McKinnon, sisters living in New York City, from Mobile, and are now professional ballerinas in the Corps de Ballet. Did I say that right, Mary Thomas?
Yes, you did.
Is it? Okay. I'm learning, man. I'm learning. And this is so cool. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six packs before your next adventure, or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events, and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're really enjoying the podcast. Do me a favor and search for Cam Marston on your social media outlets and like us or follow us or whatever is the right thing to do. Also, if you know others who'd benefit from the podcast, please forward it on to them and encourage them to listen. If you're so inclined, we'd love your rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Those ratings matter. Finally, don't be a stranger. Email me with your comments, your feedback, your thoughts, your show ideas, whatever. Cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. I'd love to hear from you. Again, thank you very much for listening. Now, back to the show. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. I'm on the phone with Mary Thomas McKinnon and her sister Olivia McKinnon, professional ballerinas in the New York City Ballet. Just prior to the break, we were going to get into some of the kind of physical stresses that these ladies endure, but I want to make sure my terminology is correct because I hope to come out of this conversation with some new language. Corps de ballet, Mary Thomas, what is that?
So corps de ballet is one of the levels of our company. So there are different rankings. The highest level is a principal dancer. Then there is a soloist, and then there is corps de ballet, and then the lowest is apprentice. An apprenticeship is basically an internship with the company, and it's kind of a test to see if you, you know, fit in and work well with the company. So there are many levels, and, you know, obviously my what I'm working for is hopefully soloist, principal dancer one day.
So yeah.
Right now I'm in the corps de ballet, but hopefully someday I'll get there.
Is it just reasonable to think that everybody that's in the corps de ballet hopes for the soloist and the principal role down the line? Or are there people that say, no, that's not my gig?
Well, yes, I think it depends on the dancer. You know, I mean, I am so happy with where I am. I mean, as long as I'm dancing, I'm happy. But I think everybody, you know, dreams of something different. And yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed as to where I am right now, but hopefully someday we'll see if I get there.
How many principal roles are there?
Oh my. I think there might be a principal role in almost every single ballet that we perform.
Okay. So I'm learning terminology here. A principal is a role for a ballet. There's not somebody that introduces themselves as I am a principal level. It's a role selected for the ballet.
Yes, I would say so. A principal dancer is just basically they are like the prima donnas of the company. They do all the lead roles. They're never in the corps. And then the soloists, they don't dance as much, but when they do dance, they are only doing solos.
So do you go from solo back to corps, depending on the ballet? Do you go to principal back to solo, depending on the ballet? Or do you get anointed principal and you are a principal from that point forward?
Exactly. Once you have your ranking, you are drilled into that ranking. You do
I
not
see.
Go backwards. You can only go forwards from apprenticeship to principal.
Olivia, we're going to go to you and ask about the fitness thing, because I know I try to find all my guests on social media and to get a little sense of their background and who they are. You have a very active social media feed of you doing a lot of these country music, hip hop, TikTok-y things. I don't know what they're called. I'm so removed from that. But you also seem to have a what is it called? I'm looking at your bio right here. Ballet inspired fitness. Teaches both
yes.
ballet and fitness classes for students all over the world. Really cool. Want to hear about that. But tell us about the physical rigors that you have to prepare for.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, ballet can be extremely hard on the body. So cross-training and self-care is a huge component within our career. So Mary Thomas and I, we do Pilates. We have our physical therapist, massage therapist. I like to do acupuncture. So cross training, I would say when I'm in season is a little bit less than when I'm just in rehearsals. But dancers and ballerinas, they do lift weights. So I go to the gym, I lift weights. And it's really just dependent on how my body's feeling at the time. But preparing your body for all the stresses that the stage will, you know, impact you. It's really important to make sure you're doing all the right things on the sidelines backstage.
So if I was a pro football player and wanted to lift weights or wanted to get acupuncture, wanted to get a massage, the team provides that. Does the New York City Ballet provide all these fitness additions that you do, or is that all on your own?
Yes, they do provide physical therapy, massage therapy, and there are trainers that train us. But I sometimes will go and I have, you know, individual people take out for my own self to do like just private work with. Mostly on my Mondays, on my day off, I do all of those things.
That's a good comment, Olivia. Give me a typical day. So you're in season. As we're talking now, we're right on the edge of Christmas. I would assume the Nutcracker is dominating your day and night right now. Tell me, give me a sense of what happens during the work day for you.
Yes. Yeah, so we typically will always start class at 10:30 in the morning, and class lasts about an hour when we're in season. And we're pretty busy with just performances, but we're also preparing for our next season. So our next season will be our winter season. So we are having currently rehearsals to prepare for our winter season during the day. And then we'll have our performance at 7:30. And most of the time, you know, Mary Thomas and I are in the second act of the ballet, so we won't get home till about 10:30, 11. So it can be a really, really long day. And we have performances every day, Saturday and Sunday. We have double shows, and Mondays are our only day off during the week.
You said classes. Your day starts at classes at 10 or 10:30. What are they? Are these academic classes?
It's a class to prepare your body, to warm your body up. We start at the bar, holding onto a bar, and there are set steps and movements that we do every single day. We repeat those steps in different ways, in different variations, but it's just our time, our hour to warm ourselves up, prepare ourselves, get us on our leg, and get us ready to go for our day.
Mary Thomas, when you look out in the audience, do you ever break, what do they call it, the fourth wall? Do you ever look out and try to see who's out there? Or are you in the zone when you're performing? Tell me what your mindset is when it's go time.
To be honest, I would say every single performance is a little bit different for me. But, you know, occasionally if I'm standing on the side and I have a little break to breathe, I'll look at the people in the front row and just see them smiling. And I'll know that what I'm doing and how hard I'm working is for a purpose. And I just know that everyone out there is enjoying it so much. And that's where, honestly, the real joy comes from. And, you know, when you're out there and you're exhausted, or it's, you know, a 2-day show day and you are just depleted, you think of those people that are just so happy to be there and watching you. And it just really puts you in a better mood.
I wonder what you know about your audience member. You can see them. And I suspect during this Christmas season, they're going to be families, and this is kind of a family event, maybe a family ritual. But let's just say you're in now in the winter season, and you're now performing what you're rehearsing in the first part of your day. By the way, I think it's fascinating that you're rehearsing for the next show while you're delivering the current performance. I think that's remarkable. What do you know about them? Is your audience a little older, a little younger? Are they more male? Are they more female? Who is the ballet consumer? Do you have any sense of who that is?
Well, I would definitely say during the Nutcracker season, it's more of a family event. It's a family tradition. A lot of people come from out of town. I know a lot of people that have been coming to Nutcracker and the ballet for years. But I would say during the year, our audience is a little bit more on the senior side. But what the great thing about New York City Ballet is we are a very diverse company, and we recruit a lot of new choreographers to come in and choreograph for the company. So we do a lot of more modern, classical, neoclassical that will attract a younger audience.
Do you study the legends of the performance? Do you study the history of ballet? Could you name for me the Russian prima donna from the year 1865?
Yes, well, let's see. George Balanchine actually was the founder of New York City Ballet in 1948. He was the co-founder of New York City Ballet along with Lincoln Kirstein. And so Balanchine was a very, very influential choreographer in the 20th century. And we continue to this day to perform many of his ballets, which are just so beautiful and a very distinct kind of choreography that people just adore. And it's just incredible to dance as well.
So if I were a student of ballet, I could recognize a George Balanchine performance versus someone else's performance.
Yes, for sure.
Olivia, I'm looking at your resume here that you generously sent me. You've toured the world and danced in Denmark, France, Japan, China, Greece, the West Indies, and various cities in the United States. We were talking, it's how common is it for you to travel to perform?
So the company, we have different tours throughout the year. Currently, not as much because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But Copenhagen, Denmark was one of my first trips to Europe, and it was through the company. So most of those trips were through the company, and we performed in beautiful, beautiful theaters. And then other locations that you named were through gigs that I would do. So on my off time during layoffs, dancers will line up gigs, which are just performances, and you travel for those as well. But we have two different locations we go every single year with New York City Ballet, and we go to Washington, D.C. We perform at the Kennedy Center, usually in March, and then we also go to Saratoga Springs. That's not too far out of the city.
And perform there.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. Here again, I'm just in amazement that you've been on the stage at the Kennedy Center. I've seen shows there, and I think this is kind of legit, man. This is the real deal. So when we come back, we need to go into break. When we come back, I want to hear your memories of our fair city. And when you introduce yourself to people, first, real quick, Olivia and Mary Thomas, are you ever recognized on the street?
I don't know, Olivia, do you want to answer this?
I mean, every now and then we have people that we know and we've grown up with, and they know us well. So there is that. And then there are some young dancers that, you know, follow Mary Thomas and I on Instagram, and, you know, they will know us just as being dancers with the New York City Ballet. So every now and then, yeah, I would say yes.
Kind of famous. I think that's awesome. When we come back, I still haven't gotten to the question that I started this segment with, which is, tell me a little bit about the physical rigors. I want to know what kind of injuries are most common in ballet. And that seems like a crazy question, but, you know, I'm curious. We'll be back after this break. I'm on the phone with Olivia McKinnon and her sister, Mary Thomas, professional ballerinas in the New York City Ballet. We'll be right back. This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. Basically, what we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, on the line with Olivia McKinnon and her younger sister, Mary Thomas McKinnon. They are professional ballerinas in New York City, a part of the Corps de Ballet, the New York City Ballet. And if you're a regular listener, you hear the tone of my voice, which is essentially me saying, this is pretty dang cool, folks. This is not a conversation I ever thought I'd have. Olivia, what is the most common injury that people in your profession face?
Well, funny you ask. Mary Thomas and I have both had the same surgery on the same ankle. And this is an injury that I had when I was in this dancing at the School of American Ballet, and Mary Thomas just recently had surgery for her same injury, and it's called an ostragonum. And it's basically an extra bone in your ankle that gets in the way when you're up in your pointe shoes, when your foot is in that pointed position on your toes. And if you were a normal person that walked, maybe even ran, you would not feel it. But it really hinders performance, and it makes it very difficult to dance. So Mary Thomas and I both had to have that bone removed from our ankle. And thankfully, it was sort of just floating. It wasn't attached to anything. And it was a pretty quick recovery for the both of us. I wouldn't say it's the worst injury ever to have. It's just kind of more of an annoying thing. There are definitely much worse injuries out there, but that's something Mary Thomas and I both had to overcome. So I thought it would be a funny story.
No kidding. I didn't know you had an extra bone. Is this all of us, or is this just you? I guess it's all of us that have an extra bone.
You know, I'm actually not sure, but I feel like most of the time, you know, only dancers will feel it, and not every dancer, but it just happened to be Mary Thomas and I.
So I was watching the documentary last night on HBO. And this is just a strange comment, but as the everybody on the screen, the group, the team, the troupe, the dancers were all on their toes moving across the room in this practice room, it sounded like a stampede. It sounded like a herd of horses running across the room. And that is not something I have ever heard when I've glanced at ballets. It's always the orchestra and the music. And there were sounds coming out of this documentary of you doing your work, your feet on the floor, the stampede sound of all of you moving across the room. What would an outsider looking in, somebody like me, be most surprised about what you guys do on a regular basis, the relationships you may have or the work that it takes? What surprises most people that don't know much about what you do? Mary Thomas, I'll let you take that one.
Well, since we're on the topic of pointe shoes, I will say a lot of people ask me this question, if we're actually standing up on the tip of our toes. And we are, and you know, it really perplexes people with how we dance, because you know, it seems like such a painful thing, but, and we've been doing it for so many years that now it's just, you know, very, very normal to us to feel that kind of pain and to be on that hard block of a shoe. But something that is very interesting, and what you said before, is how, you know, you heard such a loud noise coming from the shoes, is before we get on stage, we actually take our shoes and bang them against the wall to release the sound. And it just makes them a lot quieter. So therefore, when we are on stage, it's not distracting.
So this is perfect. So I'm standing outside the New York City Ballet, or the Kennedy Center, and it is very possible that outside against the wall are a bunch of the ballet performers banging their shoes on the wall. Do I have that right?
Well, we do it inside the theater.
Yeah. It sounds almost like close. A voodoo ritual. It sounds like me, I've got a fishing lure sitting next to me. It sounds like me kissing the fishing lure before I throw it out there going, bring me some fish, baby. It's actually a purposeful thing.
Yes, it does help release some of the pre-performance jitters. That's for sure.
Are you guys like Michael Jordan? Every performance is a new pair of shoes?
Depends. For me, yes. I like a harder shoe, but it just depends on each dancer.
And these are provided by the ballet company, huh? You need some new shoes? Go get you some new shoes.
That is correct.
Yeah. And I saw something of people sewing them on. Is there a sewing process involved?
So we just, honestly, it's very, very easy. We just sew the ribbons and the elastic on the pointe shoe. But it's honestly a very, very easy process. It probably takes me about like 10 minutes to sew my shoes together and prop them on my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. How many, this is such a dumb guy question. How many calories do you burn out there giving a performance? You ever worn an Apple Watch and said, oh, that was pretty good?
A lot. We'll just say a lot. But yeah. The answer is eat a lot to make up for it. So,
you know, you're all, in order to do what you do, you've got to be light on your feet. But I can't imagine, I got to guess that you're exhausted. I mean, breathing heavy, which is another thing that the audience never sees, is the exhaustion and the breathing heavy. Everybody's smiling, everybody's floating. You're tossing each other around like that. But do you step off the stage and put your hands on your knees and go, good Lord, I need a Gatorade?
Oh, definitely. There are dancers that just fall right onto the floor backstage after their entrances. And I have to say, my father, he's come to watch some of our rehearsals before, as well as our performances, of course. But he says he loves watching the rehearsal even more because it really shows just the grit that goes into, you know, a performance and how hard the steps are, because, you know, as dancers, we have to pretend that everything's so easy. And the rehearsal process and the performance process are just very completely different.
So let's change this. I would love to see that, by the way. I think I would relate to your father in seeing the true emotion versus the painted expressions of smiles that we see in the performance. I guess I can appreciate them both. Let's talk about your roots here. Goodness knows this city and our people are very proud of the success that you're having in New York City. But when you come home and you're able to visit your parents here, where do you like to go? What do you remember and think about when you think about your hometown? And do you introduce yourself today from Mobile, Alabama? Because you've been in New York City for a long time.
Okay. Yes, I definitely still, you know, when I'm introducing myself to people, I will definitely say I'm from Mobile, Alabama. It's just, you know, so precious to my heart. And even though we barely get to visit, it's just so precious when we do. And just to really spend quality time with our family, and especially during COVID, you know, Olivia and I both were there for a long length of time. So it was really nice to reconnect to friends and to just spend that quality time with our family members. But one of the great things that we love to do is go to our island house and spend time on the boat and just enjoy the water and the peace and quiet, and see our puppies. We have two golden retrievers that are just beautiful, and just to spend that quality time in nature and the peace and quiet.
Olivia, what about you? When you think about home, what do you think about?
Well, family, of course, but seafood is, you know, so wonderful in the South, where we are from. So I always love having my mom's West Indies salad. And of course, going to the island house, as Mary Thomas said, I love being on the water, on the Gulf. I would say being on the water, enjoying seafood with family are the three highlights whenever I get to go home and visit.
So when you tell people that you're a professional dancer, professional ballerina with the Corps de Ballet, and did you hear how I did that? Very savvy, like I knew what I was saying.
Perfect.
And then you follow up with born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. Do they look at you and smile and say, tell the truth? Because it seems like you're in the high arts and it's a sophisticated thing. And it's not typically affiliated with our great city. Do you ever get people smile and say, tell me the truth? Where are you really from?
I would say yes. I think people are a little shocked when I first tell them. But, you know, a lot of people in our company come from all over, and there are a lot of very diverse people that are affiliated in our company, which makes our company so unique. I love to say that I'm still from Alabama, and those are my roots, and I'm very proud of them.
Our IDs are still from Alabama.
So. Oh, that's good. And I noticed that
people in New York still think we live there.
I noticed that you both had a 251 area code when I dialed you up for this interview. Thank you for doing that. So, Olivia, last question before we move into before we end the interview. 5 years from now, if the world would treat you perfectly the way you want it, where are you 5 years from now? And Mary Thomas, you've got a benefit because the same question's coming to you and you have a moment to prepare. Olivia, 5 years from now, go.
Let's see. I hope to still be dancing. I hope for my body to still be strong. But, you know, down the road, I would love to pass down my knowledge, you know, to other dancers and, you know, teach maybe down the road. Who knows? But, Yeah, I will always and forever still be a ballerina, even if I decide to retire. But 5 years from now, I think I could still be dancing.
You were featured in a John Wick, I hope I pronounced this correctly, Parabellum film? Do you foresee...
Parabellum.
Parabellum film? Yeah, you foresee movies and acting and screen time being a part of your future?
I would love to do that more, for sure. I was in a small portion of that film as a ballerina assassin, funny enough, but it was a really wonderful experience. And the hours can be just as grueling as our performance hours. So I think I could do it, but you know, that would be really fun to pursue more acting, possibly.
Earlier in the summer, I interviewed a Tony Award winning actor out of New York City to tell me a little bit about the work that they do. And one of the things that surprised me was the hours that they do. It's really quite remarkable. Olivia, I want to highlight one more thing on your resume. You've worked with El Decor, the Museum of Modern Art. And by the way, did I see that video correctly on Instagram that you were dancing through the Museum of Modern Art? Not as a formal thing, just, hey, turn the camera on. I'm gonna bust a move here in the museum. Was that you?
Well, during the pandemic, I had to find spaces. I had to find my own stage, you know, so that was my way of doing it.
I loved it. It was so cool. And you've worked with Puma, Rebecca Minkoff, Sarah Jessica Parker, Tiffany. I mean, you've got quite a resume going there. I wish you the best. We're very proud of you. Mary Thomas.
Thank you so much.
You're up, sister. 5 years from now. Go.
Let's see. 5 years from now. So I'm only 22. And, you know, I think I still have a lot of spirit and spunk in me. And I am really just looking forward to seeing what the next 5 years holds for me. But I am so determined to really do well at my job and to continue to progress and improve and just become the best dancer I can be. Along with that, you know, I am taking some college courses. I would love to graduate very soon. And, you know, obviously I can so see myself continuing to be very physically active. And even when I do retire one day, whether it's teaching, whether it's teaching exercising classes. But I definitely see myself very physically active in the future, if that's what God's plan is for me.
Yeah. And I wish you the best as well. We're very proud of you down here. Enjoy your performances of the Nutcracker. I assume you've got a performance tonight. Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
You do. Enjoy your performance. Knock it out of the park. Make us very proud. I had hoped to meet a ballerina 1 year ago. I've now met two, and it's one of the highlights of the show. Good luck, ladies.
Well,
and thank
nice
you so much
you.
For your time.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. And I will let your dad know how grateful I am that he made the introduction. You're listening to What's Working, folks. We'll be right back after this with final comments.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at braidedriverbrewing.com.
Hey, this is T. Bruce McKinnon. I'm the president and CEO of Elevator World and Bay Business News. And when I'm not traveling the world looking over elevators or trying to find news for the local business community, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marston. Now back to the show.
Not a whole lot of time to wrap up today's show because I overdid it in my interviews and I didn't watch my time as well as I should have, but loved talking to those ladies. What a cool thing. Show is produced by John Thompson with Ion Digital. Have a good week, everybody.